Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Bros Pod is, of course, brought to you by BetOnline. The tournament is here. And by the tournament, of course, we mean March Madness and the NCAA tournament. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. So head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Morning, everybody, or good afternoon, everybody. Happy March Madness.
Yes.
This is really mad. Baseball scandals, you know, with a big superstar. You know, we're going to get into that and just the whole ethical morass that these colleges and the NBA, NFL, is just throwing itself into, you know. Anyway, this is Bill Roden. I'm here in an undisclosed location in Harlem, USA, holding it down. Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's going on? You in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, I'm out here in Brooklyn. As you said, the NCAA tournament beginning today. But in Brooklyn, it starts tomorrow. Today, it's just a press conference day for the players and the coaches that'll be here in Brooklyn. That's including UConn, Duke, FAU. We just saw them talk. Northwestern, some other teams I'm forgetting. Wisconsin. It should be a good nice little sight out here.
Yeah, those good teams. You know, obviously UConn, the defending champions.
Yep.
But so we'll chop that up a little bit. But the bigger story, is baseball. Ohtani, who's arguably the most visible player in baseball, Major League Baseball, his interpreter was fired. It's kind of in a story that is very mysterious and still unfolding. His interpreter was fired for allegedly siphoning off upwards of $4 million to pay off gambling debts. And the story is that this gambling operation, which is being investigated, I guess the feds saw that money, about $4.5 million of money, was being transferred from Ohtani's account to this this gambling operation in California. And I guess it's the operation is being investigated. So, Ohtani's interpreter, it looks like right now he's being the fall guy, because he's being fired, But there are a lot of questions. I mean, the number is staggering, $4.5 million of gambling debts. So it raises questions. They still don't know. The money was coming from Ohtani's account. So they're trying to say this guy, I guess the inference is that this guy somehow siphoned off the money. I guess Ohtani's making so much money. What's $4 million?
Nothing. Yeah, that's like $50 for us.
Yeah, we'll just miss it, like laundry money. But nonetheless, but the people doing the investigation saw it, caught their attention.
Right.
So the question, they don't know, was Ohtani making these bets, or are they trying to say that the his interpreter is making the bets? But it's not a great look. And I guess we talked a little bit about it off air, but it's baseball, football, basketball, college and pro. They've thrown these are just open the floodgates wide open to getting bad with gambling, and We've lived through, I know I've lived through a couple of gambling scandals. We've already seen the NFL had to fire, you know, discipline players, gambling. And I'm just waiting. I'm just wondering, man, I don't know what you think. Is this just a calm, a relative calm before the storm, before, you know, we're in March Madness? How much betting? And I guess we're not talking about the betting, right? We're just talking about what's the potential for games being fixed, thrown, or manipulated. I don't know. What did you think? What's sort of your – that's a lot to take in, but what's your take on this?
I mean, you know, the Ohtani thing, like you said, is still developing. We're not sure, you know, how it will end up, who's at fault. Like you said, it sounds like, you know, someone who his interpreter stealing money from Ohtani and using it to bet. But, you know, the first story was that Ohtani sent it to him to cover up his gambling debts.
Right.
So we're not, you know, so it's shady just the way it stands now. And I think that's the problem because, you know, we don't know if the lines become blurred, you know, when players, you know, is the player betting? Is the game being compromised? Obviously, those are the things that the leagues care about, you know, as far as integrity of each league is concerned. At least from the professional standpoint, I think, you know, all these pro leagues are in, like you said, they're in bed with the gambling companies. So at least from that perspective, you can say they're trying to work out rules and regulations. They work together in terms of, you know, highlighting any kind of activity, suspicious activity that's going on as far as players or people involved in the organizations are concerned in terms of if they're betting, using these betting companies. But, you know, I'm at the end, like, you know, like we said, I'm at the NCAA tournament here. So I worry about college because, you know, do the college ranks have that same type of organization, or are they working with the betting companies the same way as the professional ranks are doing?
Right.
And we see as far as college in terms of like how the NIL and how the transfer portal has become like the Wild West. And this is what every coach calls it now, the Wild West, anything goes. I mean, let's take that to the betting situation. Are college sports ready to handle what can come with the betting? And I doubt it because they can't even handle the transfer portal or NIL, right? So, and we've already seen, you know, a kid from LSU. I think we talked about this last podcast we did. Kid from LSU was caught betting on hundreds of thousands of dollars on other football games and all kind of sports. So I think you should. I mean, it is kind of a warning sign here. I don't think it's. You know, I don't think this will be the only, you know, these type of stories, I think will only get worse.
Right. I mean, I just remember as a kid, this must be the 1960s, when two of the biggest stars in football at the time, Alex Karras and Paul Hornung, were suspended for a year for gambling. You know, then we had Joe Namath, you know, the famous thing. He was just suspended because he was associated with a gambling, like an institution of gambling, you know. And so you go from that till the league saying, "Hey, you know, we can make a lot of money associate ourselves with gambling." Like you said, you've got DraftKings, and I guess it's supposed to be. I'm hearing somebody say how the NFL. Really does its due diligence. So I don't know, man. It's a very the slippery slope. I hate that term, but I don't even know, you know, it's not almost like not a slope anymore, it's like a canyon.
Right.
And not to mention the ethical issues of people who have gambling problems going deeper and deeper into addiction because they make gambling so easy. I mean, yep. You could do it while you lay down. You could do it while you're watching March Madness. You could be in your living room on a couch or in your bed and then just making bets. Yep. You know, so
I just did that actually. for my couch.
Yeah. I mean, it's really simple. I mean, anybody can do it.
Right.
Kids and all that. I'm not sure if they're guardrails. I just think that the Ohtani thing is one thing. I mean, we're talking about, for me at least, a massive sum of money, $4.5 million worth of gambling debt. I mean, how much, what are you betting on? You know, was that over what period of time? Was that like just in one session? You know, during one season?
If you got the money, I mean, Ohtani had the money. He knew he wouldn't miss $4 million. So, I mean, it depends what you have. I mean, you got like people like Floyd Mayweather making $1 million bets on one game. And same thing with Drake, like $1 million bets on a Kentucky game. You know, it's crazy. So it depends what you have. And then unfortunately, like you said, you have all these people out here who have, you know, have addictive personalities, and they end up betting much more than they have.
Yeah.
So that's,
and I don't, well, clearly his interpreter. If we're to believe the script, you know, right. Clearly he's betting what he doesn't have. I mean, he's like $4.5 million.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, there's only negatives. I mean, the positives, you know, you allow people to make their own decisions. It does create a lot of money for the states and for the, you know, the country as a whole, because all this stuff is taxed. And so, you know, those are the positives. It also creates money for the leagues, right? More people bet, more people watch. So that's what the leagues are thinking. But, you know, it's really just another case of big money winning in this country, right? Because the last thing they care about are the people and the people with problems and all that stuff. That's the last thing they care about. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, a long time ago, Reverend Forbes used to be the head minister at Riverside Church. But he just said that when money becomes the highest value of your society, then, you know, your moral base is going to erode. And I think money has long been the highest value of our society. You
right.
know, it's the highest value, not ethics, not morality, not anything. And I think now it's beginning to, the one thing you kind of count on was sports being some kind of honest barometer of effort and meritocracy and all that. But I think even that has been touched. I mean, I think gambling is going to erode the moral fiber of sports, not to mention, like you're saying, those people who are already addicted to gambling and who will be addicted to gambling. You know, I just, and this Ohtani story, I guess it leads to a discussion of this, but you know, I guess it's, what is it? It's a telling story of baseball's biggest star. Yeah, we didn't know anything about, we didn't know this about this guy. You know, he just thought, man, this guy is, you know, was a great, you know, he could pitch, Cy Young pitcher, and also hit, but he also is gambling, you know.
right. Or mixed up in it some way.
Mixed up in it some kind of way.
Right. I saw a headline just, you know, today that said, terrible start to Ohtani's Dodger career. And it is, right? I mean, just to be mixed up in a scandal like this is not good for anybody involved. I mean, you know, going back to what you said about the moral fiber of the country, and when it's all about money, then we're in bad shape. I mean, and like you said, it's always been all about money. But, you know, in the past, I think, you know, it was the kind of thing you didn't say out loud, or people didn't say out loud, or, you know, they tried to hide it. We all knew that's what it was, but, you know, it was, people pretended as if it wasn't. Now, nobody's pretending. Now it's just like, okay, we just care about the money. It's all about the money. So I do agree with you in terms of society in general. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
We keep seeing signs of things going wrong, or, you know, turning for the worst.
Well, remember, it was just maybe 2 weeks ago when who's the center for the former Utah center? I guess he's now with Minnesota.
Gobert,
and he got a bad call from Scott Foster, and he made he made like the money sign or something.
Right.
Basically inferring that Foster was kind of on the take. You know, I mean, and this was like during the game, you know.
Yeah, Luka Doncic did the same thing. He got called and he made the money sign to the ref. They fined him for it. But that makes you know, is it a joke? We don't know, right? I mean, you would assume the players are as close, you know, or whatever a player's suspicion is, they're closer to the game than we are.
Right.
You know, maybe his suspicions are valid.
Maybe, you know, right, inside knowledge. I mean,
exactly.
That's becoming a thing. I don't know. Even in high school, you'll start seeing the guy make money signs to the refs. But, I mean, it's something that now, because you're in bed with gamblers, everything is on the table. Yes. So you can have Gobert or Luka, two of the biggest stars in the game, you know, impugn the reputation of officials saying, you know, you're on the take. And you've heard it even in the NFL. With all the bad calls and people are saying, did you have money on this game? Did you, you know? So I guess when you get in bed with, you know, when you get in bed with these people, you know, or what they say, when you lay down with pigs, you're going to get mud. You're going to get money, you know?
Right. So, I mean, one thing Silver has always said, and the commissioners, they try to, with the way they spin it, is the fact that these gambling companies are legal now. It's easier for them to regulate it or find suspicious activity. Whereas when it was all illegal and underground, it was tougher. So I mean, that's the way they'll say that it's different. But I don't know, man.
I guess there's validity in that. It's like with legalized marijuana. Does that knock out the underground trade? I don't know. You know,
and what's better? We don't know what's same like that analogy. You don't know what product is better.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Maybe the underground product. I don't know. And you know,
maybe that was a safer product for all we know. We don't know.
Yeah. So you know, Major League Baseball starts the season with a huge scandal. You know, his biggest star now, and it's very dubious. We don't know what his role was. You know, like I said, they've thrown the interpreter under the bus, saying he stole the money. But that will be determined. On the bright side of the tournament, did you fill out a bracket? And who do you have winning men and women? Just shout out to Grambling. You know,
yes, Grambling shout out to Grambling, yes.
And all HBCUers out there, yeah. You know, Grambling beat Montana. I think Montana State or something.
Yeah,
and people
are actually giving them a chance against Purdue, who they play next. Because remember last year Purdue lost to a 16. So now people are saying, "Oh, Grambling, you never know."
Yeah, well, if Matt Painter, he will be instantly fired. Purdue coach, you know, maybe they'll give him a pass if he loses in the second round. But if he loses to Grambling, he will be, at immediately after the game. It'll be like Wilkes at San Francisco, you know. he'll be fired.
And the Grambling coach still won't get a big time job. Watch.
No, it was luck, or maybe they'll send him over to Colorado. Colorado actually plays. I think they play. I'm not sure if they played already. They
won last night. They won a play-in game last night against Boise State.
So oh, yeah.
They play tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Colorado. Do you have any favorites? I know we were at the Garden last weekend and watched Connecticut, you know, which is – Connecticut is bland as a – you know, but they win.
Yeah. No, I mean, Connecticut has become the prohibitive favorite. For the tournament, everybody, you know, pretty much consensus, everybody believes that they're the best team in the country. They've been the best team in the country all year. They ran through the Big East tournament. They're the overall number one seed. I think they play Stetson tomorrow. And they would be the first team to repeat. That's the thing that gives you pause, in terms of picking a winner. Can they get it done? No team has repeated since, I think, 2005, 2006, Florida team with Joakim Noah and Horford.
Yeah.
And Billy Donovan was the coach. So that's the last time it's happened. But, you know, yeah, I have a bracket. You know, I'm running a little bracket pool. Okay. $30, Bill. I meant to send
$30.
It to you. $30. That's nothing, you know. Nice, you know, little something.
$30 to get in?
Yeah, just that's all. That's all. I'm trying to make it, you know, accessible to the people. But my final four is UConn, Purdue. I have Purdue shaking off the rust, not the rust, but shaking off the past performances and getting it done, getting to the final four. I have Marquette and Shaka Smart getting to the final four. And then my last one is an 11 seed. I figure one side of the bracket, the west side, will get blown up. And I picked New Mexico, Patino's son, as an 11 seed to get to the final four. So
that's Patino's son.
And then I have UConn beating Purdue in the final. So I have them repeating.
Have you done the same with a women's seed? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I have not filled up my women's bracket. I have until tomorrow because the women's tournament starts tomorrow. I will fill out a women's bracket. I mean, I hate when people constantly say, you know, I'm a college basketball fan, so I always hate when people are like, oh, you know, the women's game way better than the men's game. Like, da, 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 I don't. So I hate the fact that people have to, you know, compare them.
Right.
But it is a fact that the women's game is very exciting. You have definitely more household names in the women's game right now. You got, you know, even coaches, Dawn Staley. You have South Carolina. You have Caitlin Clark at Iowa. You have Angel Reese at LSU. Yeah, even Paige Beckers, remember her at UConn? She was supposed
making a comeback.
She was supposed to be the number one player in her class, and she came in Caitlin Clark's class. So you have stars. So I'm intrigued by the women's side. Obviously, I got to go with South Carolina undefeated. They couldn't pull it off last year in terms of going throughout the whole season, then the tournament undefeated. I think, you know, let's see if they can do it this year. But it's not going to be easy. Iowa and LSU and UConn.
Yeah, they were, remember the freshman at USC.
Oh yeah, I forgot about her. Yeah, Juju Watkins.
Yeah, yep. Juju Watkins.
And she's the real deal. So
yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of names.
Yes.
On the women's side.
Yes.
And I think the challenge is, like you said, not to compare, and just to enjoy the women's game. And the men's game, the way we enjoy women's tennis,
right?
And men's tennis. In fact, some people argue that they probably enjoy women's tennis more.
Yep.
You know, during the Olympics and when you're watching track and field,
right?
People don't really have a problem watching women. You know, the women's sprints.
Right.
You know,
they're just as entertaining, like you said, if not more.
It is, and I think you have to figure out. Why is that? Have you ever thought, since we're on it, why is that? Why is it, you know, you have the women's basketball suffers in comparison with is always in the men's game, but you don't have the same thing in tennis, and you don't have the same thing with, like, track and field. And even arguably, for those people who are into volleyball, you can clearly watch a championship volleyball match in the Olympics. Or probably even in NCAA, and not feel that you're watching a lesser product. Why do you think that is? Put you on the spot.
I'm not. I mean, there are probably so many reasons. A lot of reasons. I mean, tennis has been the women's tennis game has been in, you know, the mainstream for a long time.
Right.
Forever. You know, it feels like. Same thing with women's track and field. I mean, but you can say this. You can say women's basketball has been around forever, also. So it's, I don't know. It's just the stigma. For some reason, there's a stigma as far as basketball is concerned. You know, I would say, I would bring up the racial demographics of basketball, but you could definitely say the same thing about track and field. So I'm not sure exactly what it is, but at least we can say that it's changing and that more, you know, it's more people are, you know, starting to watch it and enjoy it. And, it looks like an upward trajectory. So, you know, I mean, hopefully it is.
Yeah. Yeah. They always say that when you look at the WNBA, how old it is and compare the NBA when it was as old, you know, the NBA was still crawling out of its cave, you know.
But, you know, women's college basketball has been around forever, yeah. You know? Yes. So, yeah, I get that with the WNBA. And I often say the same thing. I mean, it's still in its infancy. You know, when the NBA was 20-plus years old, it was, the 70s, tape delay, you know, not much attention on until Magic and Bird. And there you go. I guess it's about stars, right? So now you have these stars in the women's game, and maybe this is what causes it to take off.
Yeah. How do you feel before we segue? How would you feel about the WNBA? This is not going to happen. Changing the time of year, because right now it's like you're playing in summer.
Yeah.
And it's like weird.
Yeah, I think hopefully I think it's inevitable, right? I think it almost feels like the summer idea was kind of like a stopgap, kind of, oh, you know, we're a new league, let's do this, let's do it, you know, just 20-plus games, 30 games, whatever they play. Let's just see if people will get on board. I think once it becomes a legitimate American sport in terms of the money it can make and the notoriety, I think it has to be during the basketball season, like a full season during the basketball season, for like when high school girls basketball is during the basketball season, college basketball, women's college basketball is during the basketball season. I think if you want to, if you know, when you can say the WNBA really made it, I think that's when it'll be, when they have a real, you know, fall winter season.
But anyway, so I have not filled out my bracket yet, but I will. But I've got South Carolina. I'm just going to throw it down. I don't even know if they're anything. South Carolina, Iowa.
Yeah.
South Carolina, yep. Iowa, USC, and LSU.
Well, I do know LSU and Iowa are in the same region. So only one of them can make the Final Four. And people were complaining about that they would put them in the same region.
Yeah, well, I'm complaining too because it's kind of screwing. But yeah, I'll do my bracket sometime tonight. I would love for South Carolina. I would love for a revenge match, Carolina, Iowa. I think that
could
would be great.
Could be an elite eight matchup.
Yeah, that would be great. But they can't play in the final for the national championship
or the Final Four.
Man, what are they trying to do, man?
Exactly. That's what people have been saying. You talk about marketing the sport. I think, you know, we always talk about the selection committee. They shouldn't think about that type of thing. It's just
put
the teams. But exactly.
That's all they should think about. we kind of dealt with the gambling thing and all that. Of course, we have to mention the NFL because that's the engine that. Yes. All this stuff.
Yes.
You know, Caleb Williams had his pro day, you know, yesterday. And that's been the back and forth thing. Last time we were on, I think we talked about – have we talked about Russell Wilson?
No.
Oh, man. We've been
– It's been a while. We took a little month-long hiatus.
Yeah, another hiatus. Yeah, maybe that's another show. But very excited about Russell Wilson.
Are you?
Because I'm just sort of more of an anti-Sean Payton vote.
Oh, I agree with that.
I just think that he really disrespected Wilson. And I take that kind of stuff personally, right. Just as a black man.
Yeah.
And, you know, where black people tend to be devalued.
Right. You know? Speaking of devaluing, how about Justin Fields, you know, as his backup? Yeah. As a backup quarterback after the numbers he put up rushing and even passing last season. I mean, he's a starter somewhere, and I didn't understand how his stock or value went down so low that they could only get a six round pick for him. Now, just to give an example, Bill, because I know you're not as high on Justin Fields
as you and my brother,
right? But who would you rather have, Justin Fields or what's the guy in, for the Giants?
Oh, David Jones.
Jones. Jones or Fields? Who do you want?
Well, Fields. I mean,
it's really a no-brainer. Okay, I could name like. In fact, more NFL news that we haven't talked about. Cousins, right? Atlanta Falcons, new coach Raheem Morris. They want to get a quarterback. They pay Kirk Cousins $30 million a year, right? I think they gave him 4 years. This is a guy who every year we know he's a pretty solid regular season quarterback, but he never gets out of the first or second round. It's almost a joke. Like every time he plays a big game, people know that he's not going to perform well, right? This is the guy. And on top of that, he's coming off of a Achilles injury, okay? Right. And you run to him and give him money. You could have got Justin Fields for less, for far less. So I don't understand. I really don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. I don't get it. We'll have to have Raheem on the show. You know, let him say, brother, I tried, you know.
But in the long run, we got Russell Wilson and Fields with Tomlin. So
yeah, which is good. Yeah. You know, we had a brother on the show. He wrote the Tomlin book.
Yep.
I like that. I mean, I like that pairing. Now, do I think that Russ is going to kind of mentor Justin, you know, like sit him down and brother? I never got the impression that's who Russ is, you know. I think he likes the idea of it, of him somehow being a pioneer in the, yeah, I mean, you know, having that, you know, that kind of standing in the thing of black quarterbacks.
Right.
But I don't know if, as a guy, that's the kind of brother he is, kind of take Justin under his wing and let me take you. What's his wife's name?
Ciara.
Ciara and I want to invite you over for dinner.
Well, that would be very nice. And I think, you know, I think Justin Fields, good kid himself. I think they both have to have respect for each other. But when it comes to, you know, competition, I think both of them really just want to be there to play, right? Russell Wilson, obviously, he cares more about playing than mentoring. And, you know, Justin Fields, I'm sure, is coming in there like, you know, he knows what he was able to accomplish. Right. With the Bears, he thinks he should play also. So
yeah, and they both have reputations that need to be repaired.
Right.
You know, both are coming off of damaged reputation years. You know, so I think that'll be great. They both came cheap. You know.
Yes.
So we'll see. So, but that's what makes the NFL so intriguing. We're still talking about it in the middle of the NBA. See, I don't know what the issue is in the NBA. I don't know. You know, I was thinking about it. I mean, there's no in football, there's an issue because the sport is just by definition, what's the word? It's exploited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, violent. People will get ground up and cast aside and all that. But there's something, you know, the NBA. Everybody seems really content, man. I mean, everybody seems really happy, you know.
Well, they got those, you know, they got the guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, they say, what's to complain about, brother?
Nothing to complain about. And I was thinking about it, too, just in terms of popularity of the sport. I mean, the NFL is set up so perfectly with the season, only the 16 games, it's one game a week. There's really no downtime. There's no time, like, as you know, when you know, the dog days for baseball season, the dog days of a NBA season, that doesn't exist in football. There is, you know, all those games are so important, you know. So it's just a perfect setup for fans.
Yeah, we talk about the draft. I mean, we talk about the combine. I was out of the combine, and we talk about you spend every day talking about the draft, and now.
No, and speaking of the NFL, I think even Goodell, he probably took a lesson from the NBA. As you know how the NBA, you know, the free agency is a big deal, that you have their days. Oh, free agency starts at midnight and then everybody gets signed right away. Football actually took a page out of the NBA this year and did the same thing. They had they made a big deal out of the deadline. And as soon as the free agent deadline hit, you know, Schefter was out there tweeting and who got signed where. That's a new thing this year that the NBA has been doing for a few years. So the NFL's about to take over everything.
We want that too. Yeah. So what else? So yeah, that's exciting. I guess we'll get to the NBA later on.
After March Madness, it's all NBA. Not all, but some NBA.
Yeah. So well, it was good. And then we could also talk about, I know we've talked about NIL and how you've got these older coaches who are just ruining the day that NIL became the law of the land. And like you were saying at the very beginning, it was implemented and there's no guardrails. Right. And it's just, you have virtually overnight billionaire offensive tackles,
And even, and coaches are, like you said, all coaches are complaining about how the transfer portal and NIL is affecting them because, basically they have, it's changed their job description where you have to recruit your own players. But even today I asked Danny Hurley about, his problems with the transfer portal. And the first thing he said was the fact that it's open right now. They open it up right after the regular season. So right when teams are preparing for the NCAA tournament and people are writing about the NCAA tournament, you got kids putting their name into the portal. And that becomes, just as big a news as and also it leaves the teams who are still playing behind the eight ball in terms of trying to recruit these kids in the portal. So it's I mean, I hate when coaches will say, will complain about it too much or call it the Wild West. But I still think it's a good thing. I think the kids have a right to have a choice just as the coaches do.
Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't change the fact that it has created a wild atmosphere within the sport.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I don't know how I'm sure, but at some point it'll level itself out. Some kind of way they're going to try to put restrictions on it. Maybe some state politicians will get involved, depending on who gets elected. In the upcoming election, that will be just one other area that they could basically, the state will own it and some kind of way make it something fucked up,
Yes.
It's too black. Too many black guys. There's too many black guys playing. We're going to, something. How do they get it? We'll do like a person by person comparing grades. Should you have gotten in, and how are these kids getting in? No more special admits, for black people.
Salary caps.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So, all right, man. Do you have anything else? I was, I think last time I saw you, didn't you say your sons were playing a flag football league in March?
we had a flag football tournament about a week ago. My son was in. He threw the only touchdown pass that they had, so that was a good thing. Like I said, I'm the PE teacher. I run them out there, play every sport. They have no choice. Better that than PlayStation all day.
Yeah, anything better than PlayStation.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, man, this was nice. I'm glad we connected with the people. And I guess we'll do another one as March Madness heats up. We'll kind of look at upsets and we'll monitor South Carolina, LSU, USC, at some point the NFL draft isn't until at the end of April, so we got a ways to go with that.
Yeah, we'll see. Right, we'll see. The NCAA tournament here in Brooklyn, and it started today. UConn the favorite. Don't forget Kelvin Sampson out in Houston, trying to get to a Final Four. They definitely have a team that could do it. But we'll see. We'll see what upsets occur in the next couple of days and talk about it next week.
Yeah, that would be good for us, man. For Kelvin Sampson to reach the Final Four, that would give us some socio-political something to write about,
Yeah.
So let's hope he doesn't falter. He's faltered the last couple of years. Last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, he has that tough tough defensive team, sometimes it's hard for them to score. So that's what trips them up sometimes.
Yeah.
Of course, as usual, thanks to the listeners for listening. Keep tuning in. We're still on social media at BrosPod on Twitter, at BrosPod on Instagram. Check the YouTube page out for World Night Sports.
TikTok?
We don't have a TikTok page yet. I heard the Congress trying to get rid of TikTok, so I don't know.
Should we do it before they get rid of it?
Probably, yes. That sounds like a plan.
We'll see. But at least we're on Instagram and YouTube. So.
Yes.
All right, Jamal. Well, listen, man, enjoy the tournament. It should be fun. And I'm headed out west. You know, I'm going to interview Alexis Morris, the former LSU Tiger, now Harlem Globetrotter. So stay tuned for that in Anscape. And we'll see you down the road, everybody. Have fun. Continue to pray. We need it more than ever. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.